Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We really appreciate it. This week, we got a fun episode, as always. Up first, you got Kat Bailey and Brian Weedeye, TJ Lowerman, and I debating the merits of Madden versus The Show. Two good games, but a bunch of folks are talking about them as they are sort of the two big games out there right now, and football has just started and the pennant races are going on to baseball. So it's an interesting discussion we have about that. And then after that, we've got Kat Bailey coming back. Kat Bailey took a trip to the NBA 2K16 team's development studios out in California, and she talks about her experience there. And you'll, well, let's just say that I think she's pretty excited about NBA 2K16, as a lot of people are. So you get an interesting sort of behind-the-scenes chat about how that went and what's coming with NBA 2K16 this year. So we're excited for this week's show. As always, thank you for listening. And by the way, be sure, if you want to help out the Press Row Podcast, go to DraftKings.com and enter the code PRESS to get a chance to enter a contest to win a couple million bucks. You'll hear a little bit more about that later. And also, check out the brand-new Hit the Pass Radio. And the Hit the Pass Radio Network is officially up and running. Go to hitthepass.com and check that out. Hit the Pass Radio is a cool little new addition to our network where it's not always about sports video games, but it's always about the intersection of sports and video games. And so we're having a lot of fun out there too. But don't worry, Press Row is going to continue doing what it does. And we're doing it because of you guys, the listeners, making the show so popular. And, well, let's face it, influential too. So thanks, everybody, for being a Press Row Podcast listener. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the show. Well, all right, Kat Bailey is here, Brian Weedeye is here, TJ Lowerman is here, I'm excited. This is an interesting show tonight, folks. We're going to be talking about a few things, but the heart of tonight's episode is really sort of analyzing a couple of big-ticket games. One is Madden NFL 16, and one is MLB 15, The Show. A lot of people have been asking me lately about the differences between the game. And so a little later on, we're gonna get into that. But I want to start off with Kat Bailey from US Gamer. Kat, you have not been on the show for a little while. You've been, you know, doing things like traveling and enjoying yourself and working hard on 100 other things. So, Kat Bailey, let's get the official Press Row Podcast Kat Bailey take on Madden NFL 16, now that it's been out in the wild for a few weeks. You did the review for US Gamer. Give us your overall thoughts on it.
It's funny. I was over on Operation Sports recently, and somebody was referring to me as a negative Nelly. Like, they actually said that, but I like this version. I like it more than I've liked it in quite a while. And I think just what it boils down to is that it's fun. I mean, yeah, it's unbalanced. But by the same token, I don't feel like it's impossible to play defense. I've actually played very effective defense. I feel like it's possible to do both man coverage and zone coverage pretty well. I think it's just really freaking fun to throw up the ball for grabs and watch somebody like Calvin Johnson or AJ Green make a ridiculous catch. Now, yes, it's a little silly when you got like scrubs who are able to make the one-handed Odell Beckham catch. That's for sure. I don't like that in particular. But I've been playing Madden, more Madden than I ever did last year. I did not enjoy last year's version much at all. as we all know, the GM Connected, I'm playing NHL right now, I'm sorry. Connected franchise has been broken, but by and large, I am a fan of the additions. I think that Contrary to Brian's opinion, I do actually like the pop-ups, mostly because I feel like the goals have been buried to the point of being irrelevant until recently. And I like the, like, just having these little mini goals to try and meet. Like, I keep, it keeps me focused. And it doesn't necessarily make me force things. It's just nice to be able to feel like I am accomplishing something. And I still think XP sucks and should go away, but it's not a bad way to make me think about goals in a way that, like, I just never thought about goals until now. Interestingly enough, I'm playing a lot of Madden Ultimate Team, which is something I never thought I would be able to say. But I've enjoyed this Madden enough that I've wanted to dip a toe in. And I've got like an 82 overall team now, and I've been going through the gauntlet and everything using TJ's how to get a decent deck without like spending loads of cash on this mode. And I have lots of thoughts on Mutt, but it's, I mean, that's been kind of my main thing, because I'm kind of waiting until we get our press roll league started before I jump into our connected franchise. But,
well, you bring up an interesting point, kind of waiting. I've been kind of waiting on Madden now for a few weeks for exactly that reason. I feel completely disconnected from the game. Personally, there have been so many other things that I've been playing other than Madden because we have not been able to start our franchise. And this is not unusual. We always wait until the first patch for Madden. But in years past, for me, there have been other things that have kept me playing Madden until the start of the league. But this year, that has not happened. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to turn it to you, Brian Weedye. 3 weeks in, are you happy with, you know, Madden as it stands, and do you think that its fans are overall happy with it now that it's been out there for a bit?
Well, we did just get the patch, which addresses many of the bugs, and that was what was holding the game back, really, from being really good to great, right? I mean, we're pretty satisfied with most about Madden this year, whether it's the gameplay or draft champions. There's definitely a level of disappointment related to franchise mode, and presentation, but what you see now is you have a game or a series, I guess, that you can isolate what really needs work. In the past, it's been, okay, everything needs work. Now you can say, okay, franchise mode needs love next year. Presentation needs to be revamped. We need new commentary. And that's really where everybody is looking at for improvement now, as opposed to gameplay, which is so overriding of everything else, to just say, oh, gameplay's a mess or it needs a lot of work. So now that we have these bug fixes, which were the major problems with the product at release, you can start to settle into the game some. Now, from what I've heard, the patch did not fix all of the problems. People are still seeing some of the same issues pop up, and the regression and franchise mode, people are saying, has not been fixed despite being on the list. It's all a lot of stuff we have to investigate. But the game's fun, and what it comes down to is people want to play the game, and the bugs have kept them from doing that, kept them from starting franchise. So we're close, but EA just didn't get there quite as well as they maybe should have or could have this year.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying in my review, where I said, when I look at my issues with Madden, a lot of it is like balance stuff and bugs. And I feel like that's the kind of stuff that can be addressed. Like, that's concrete, like, okay, fix this. And yeah, no, it's never that simple in game development. You fix one thing and something else gets broken. It's the old proverbial game of whack-a-mole. But it is so much closer than it has been in the past. And I think that the way that they've approached wide receiver and defensive back interaction is really actually pretty ingenious. And this is the first year that, like, when I got on my ultimate team, I've got Michael Floyd and Brandon Marshall. And, like, it just feels great to throw it up to Brandon Marshall, or to have this big-bodied receiver there, or this big-bodied tight end. Like, size matters in a way that it has in the past. I mean, you could do manual catches and everything, but being able to high point a catch or just be able to have somebody like see your receiver block, totally box out the defensive back and come down with the ball it's just marvelous, isn't it? But by the same token, like I feel like team talent matters so much this year. And it's always mattered, like you would say, back in Madden 11, like the Raiders would be so cheap because Nnamdi Asamoah would have like super good man coverage and press, whatever. But in this one, like if you've got really good cornerbacks, for example, like who are great at press coverage and man coverage or zone, like, or if you got really good pass rushing linebackers, or you've got a particularly good receiver, like you can do things with those people. Like you feel the difference.
Line. Like a spectacular yes. offensive line.
Like I've been playing Draft Champions, which by the way, I think there's a lot of room for that mode to grow, but it's a great foundation. You can feel the difference when like, say you focus on drafting defense versus when you don't, because oh my gosh, when I had the most ridiculous Draft Champions team. It was so great. I had like Bobby Wagner and Richard Sherman and like Devin McCourty in the back. And those guys were just ripping the heads off. It was ridiculous. And it was so much fun. So, yeah, point is, I really like this game.
TJ Lowerman, let's talk about Ultimate Team. 3 weeks in, you've been grinding away. You've been playing a bunch of different things. You've been doing solos. You've been playing online. How is Ultimate Team this year, and what do all of these differences as far as talent gaps and on-field gameplay, how, if at all, has that changed the way that you play Ultimate Team this year? And is it a good thing or not a good thing?
Yeah, I'm actually really loving Ultimate Team. I wasn't really expecting to get into it this year. I figured, with our CFM that we're going to do, I'll play a little bit, wait till our CFM starts, and then get into that. And then next thing I know, I think I've played like 135 solos so far, played a bunch of Draft Champions, and I'm having a ton of fun with the mode. The one thing I really haven't done so far is played a lot of online, just the head-to-head seasons with my actual Ultimate Team, just because I've been loving Draft Champions online so far. It's nice because you're not playing people with those completely overpowered teams. Like I think recently Brian was talking about it in Diamond Dynasty. Every team is pretty much the same now. Everybody's got all the great guys. And that's going to happen with most of the people in Ultimate Team. They're going to have a great team. But they're not going to have those holes that you're going to have in a team when you're doing Draft Champions. Like I've been trying to mess around with some stuff like what happens if I just build an amazing offensive line or let's say I get five great receivers because I know the people I'm going to play are never going to have five great defenders. So I'm going to be able to take advantage of that all the time. So a lot of that stuff is really making the human versus human interaction of online games a lot more important than the just the cards they're playing with. Because last year in a regular head-to-head Ultimate Team game, you could have a terrible team, but your guys are so amazing that you could beat me with a good team, but in Draft Champions, it really puts us on like an even playing field. So Ultimate Team's really fun this year, and I don't want to stop anymore, and I don't like that idea, and I got like an itch on my arm, and it's weird.
Draft Champions is a great portal to Ultimate Team because if you just play a few rounds of Draft Champions, you'll get these Draft Champions badges, and you can put them toward a double elite set, and all you need is like 10 of them, and you can get them in like two runs, and the double elite set will just give you two random elites, one on offense and one on defense, and suddenly like you've got a really good foundation. Like mine wasn't super great. I pulled Brandon Marshall and I pulled Dante Wintner, but both of them like I felt the difference as soon as I put them on my team. So my only thing is I wish after that, like in typical Madden Ultimate Team fashion, like you have to like get 100 of those badges to be able to get, say, like an Adrian Peterson or a Patrick Peterson or or something like, or Tim Tebow for some reason. And I don't know if I have the patience to do that many times. So outside of the initial gateway, like Draft Champions has lost a lot of its meaning, and it's lost some of its novelty, because I've drafted the ultimate team. Like I'm dropping the mic. I'm never getting better than like vintage Michael Vick with like Sterling Sharp handing off to Adrian Peterson and throwing to Alshon Jeffrey. It's just, that's it. That's the best. So, but next Rich? Year I would really like them to have better ultimate team awards and also be able to play with my friends.
Good yeah, Rich. Mode. I was going to ask you, Rich, when they're talking about the ultimate team stuff, elites and collections and sets, does this all sound like a foreign language to you?
Oh yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about. Literally no idea, and that's okay. Again, I mean,
well, that's part of the problem, right? I think with ultimate team, it's gotten so massive and so complicated to someone who hasn't been playing it that I just don't get it anymore.
Yeah, Brian, you're just mad that you haven't packed red paint recently. That's why.
But ultimate team is hell. Actually, it's hell on earth.
I don't view that as a bad thing, by the way. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I don't view it as a negative, because I recognize, and that's frankly why, you know, we have, you know, TJ and Kat on the show in particular to talk about this stuff, because I completely understand the fact that it's okay to have another language for these modes, for Diamond Dynasty and for Ultimate Team, because that just means that there are more people playing it. Yes, it is, like, you know, TJ had a great piece up on Hit the Pass this week about you want either, you know, play Ultimate Team, either get grinding or get spending. But, you know, he had a really nice walkthrough as here's the recommended path and here's what you get from that path. And I really didn't understand what the rewards were. But on the other hand, already people are saying, oh, that's excellent. I didn't know that. That's a good thing. Like, so yes, I don't understand the language, but on the other hand, the fact that these conversations are being had is I don't know, strangely to me, a good thing. TJ?
I'm hitting that same spot that she's at right now with the Draft Champions. I just did my double elite pack. Got Donta Hightower and Mike, that left guard whose name I can't say, but it's like
Mike Iupati.
Yeah. Iupati? That's an awesome name. Yeah, I got them. So now my line is stronger. I have a better linebacker. I moved Tamba Ali up to the D line. It's great. But yeah, now I think you get 5 draft champion badges for winning an online 1 of 4 games. And if you need 100, that means you have to win, what, 20 sets?
Yeah, that's a lot of games. It's better to just do the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, so, by the way, like, until recently, all of this was a foreign language to me as well, but because I've actually been playing Mutt, I've been researching all of the ways to actually get cards, which has resulted in me, like, learning how to, for example, spend time on in the auction house at 1 a.m. Pacific hunting down
that's a good time, yeah.
Which is, oh my God, what am I doing to my life?
Is that fun?
No, like it's not. Fun. It's
when you get
worst.
Those hot snipes.
And the worst thing is that they haven't updated the Madden Ultimate Team interface from last year, so it's pretty slow, and it requires like a billion clicks. Like, if I want to just sell somebody from my lineup, for example, like, I can't just go into my item binder and say, I am selling you. No, you got to have to go into your lineup manually, and you have to manually remove them from the lineup, and then go back to the item binder, and then sell them. Stuff like that. It's really annoying.
But it doesn't give you a prompt that if you're in the item binder, you can hit L1, see all the active auctions that are out there. But then when you hit circle to back out, to go back to your binder, it brings you back to the beginning of your binder. And if you had some sort of filter, like you were looking at silver strong safeties, you have to go redo that to go back to that card.
Once again, different language. No clue what's happening. Brian Weidai, are the problems that you identified with Draft Champions continuing to be exacerbated, or, you know, do you think those are the kind of things that are just, no matter what you do when you introduce online play in a game like Madden, this is just the way that it's going to be?
Well, there are ways to encourage people to play the proper way, and Draft Champions really is lacking a lot of that. Now, they released a tuner prior to the patch, which adjusted some of the success rate on the deep ball, particularly when two or more defenders converge on the receiver. So that has had some really positive benefits I've been seeing immediately, because people are less likely just to chuck it downfield, knowing that, you know what, 25% of the time, I'm probably going to catch the ball, so I'm going to keep moving down the field, and you catch one of those, you're in field goal range already. So the tuner has seemed to help in that regard, but people still will go for it on fourth down constantly, because there's nothing stopping them from doing that, because, number one, it's short quarters, 3 minutes quarters, so you're only going to have, you know, three or four, five possessions in a game, so people feel under pressure to make those possessions count. And there's no penalty for quitting because you just get to draft a new team again. So people will just, okay, I went for it on fourth, didn't get it, I'll quit. Especially if it's the first game. Why not? It seems like people drop out really quick from those because maybe they didn't even like the draft they had and they just wanted to lose anyway. So there's issues inherent with the shorter quarters and the lack of incentive to continue playing through to the end and the lack of any sort of punishment. Like in Rocket League, if you quit out of a ranked match, they block you for 15 minutes. You can't play again. In Draft Champions, you can just go draft your team again and hop right back in and play. So they have to come up with some ways to, number one, whether it's fair play rules, which have been out of Madden for years, something that gets people to play within you know, the realistic manner that they should, and there has to be some incentive for continuing to through to the end, even if you're losing, and there has to be some punishment for just quitting out on people. Maybe people don't even care right now if they get quit on because they just move on in the mode. But even those people who move on, all you're getting is that ultimate team stuff that TJ and Kat were talking about earlier. That might not even doesn't matter to me. Rich, would you care about getting an ultimate team bonus from playing through Draft Champions? I think this is another issue we have, that unless you play ultimate team, there's really nothing for you other than playing some fun online games. It doesn't even keep your rank, you know, that kind of thing, like an online rank game would be.
Yeah, like I said, it's a foundation, which is why, like, next year you would hope that they would really expand the reach of the mode.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take just a minute here. We're going to talk about our good friends at DraftKings. You know, your season-long fantasy football lineup, it's locked in and it's ready for action, but you do not have to wait until week 16 or 3 years after week 16 to get paid. You put your fantasy skills to the test starting Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you could kick the season off by winning $2 million. It is the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. That's kind of unbelievable. One-week fantasy football, you know what this is, right? It means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. You play where you want, you play when you want, and you play with the players that you want, and you turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. It is so nice to be able to, you know what? You have a bad draft. Week one, who cares? Week two, you get to draft an entirely new team. You know what? You have a great draft week one. You can roll with those same players. You just pick them again week two. It doesn't matter. It's just so much better than traditional fantasy football. You just pick your players, pile up the points, and you pick up your cash. That's it. You have never experienced football like this. This is not fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. And so do the Press Row podcast a big favor. If you like the show, if you love the show, you can really help us and you know, do right by us, do right by yourself, and do right by the good folks at DraftKings. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code PRESS to play for free at a shot at a part of $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter PRESS for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. The code is PRESS. Well, you know, it's a good point, Brian. I mean, one of the reasons I'll bet you right now that I don't, when I get home and after everybody's gone to bed and I have, you know, 45 minutes or an hour to myself to play something, one of the reasons that Madden is not the game that I choose right now is there's nothing going on yet that I, other than just playing the game to have fun, which is, of course, a significantly good thing, there's nothing more going on than just the experience of playing the game, which is not the same with me with MLB The Show. It's not the same for me with Forza 6, you know, which we may or may not get to in a little bit. There's, because we haven't started our league yet, there's really very little for me to do that has any sort of persistence. Now, if I played a Draft Champions game and I, you know, went on a 3 or 4 game run and I got some sort of bonus for my CFM team, you know, whether it's a little extra money or a little scouting boost or something like that, that would be that. Then I would kind of stop and say, that's interesting. But like you said, Brian, because it's Ultimate Team and because I personally don't play Ultimate Team, yes, it's fun to play Madden, and Draft Champions is a good concept and many people are enjoying it, including Kat and TJ. But yep, for me, what Draft Champions offers versus what the reward is, there's just no payoff for me personally. TJ, I think you have some thoughts on this.
I wanted to chime in on what Brian said about people being so willing to quit. Now I find myself being like hyper aggressive when I have a lead, because people are dropping out so much that if I have a 14-point lead, I could just run out the clock, kick a field goal. But now I'm going to be overly aggressive because there's a better chance they're going to quit this year.
Yeah, I'd just quit on you if you did that to me, TJ.
Yeah.
And run up the score.
I mean, you can't do that in our CFM, and that's going to be a problem for you. But yeah, to what you were saying, Rich, you want the rewards in here to be good somewhere else, but isn't that the whole problem that we had with when NFL 2K, because not even a good game, NBA 2K, the NBA 2K series
edit that out.
was putting the universal currency and everything, then we had big problems with that.
Yeah,
it works in MLB, so I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, they have to come up. Number one, the easiest solution would simply be create a ranking system that keeps your records and keeps your quit percentage and all that kind of stuff, because that partially holds people accountable in regular ranked games. But then you can do cosmetic type stuff, like in Rocket League. I'll go back to Rocket League again, where you can buy DLC, but it doesn't change performance on the pitch. It doesn't change the skill of the cars or anything. Now, we don't want it being where you can, like Rich said earlier, where your team gets better because you played something outside of the mode. But there are ways to give you bonuses in franchise, whether it's some extra uniforms for a relocated team, or it could be anything along those lines, or something cool pops up in the Twitter feed in there. There's all sorts of things, just little nice things that they could do. They don't necessarily need to be tied to performance and skill on the field, but they need to come up with something that helps to hold people accountable in the long run, or else, to me, Draft Champions has already lost a lot of its luster, because it was intriguing at first and the games are fun. And I thought my initial read on it was these are way better than normal ranked games, because everybody has strengths and weaknesses and you're facing different teams all the time. But then again, now we've had the pool of players really isn't changing all that much. It seems to be most of the same guys all the time. And then you get the experience where it's shorter quarters, so people are quitting, and there's no penalty for that, and they'll just go for it on fourth down every time because they feel pressured to do so, and there's no reason not to. That's something they have to address for the future, or else this mode's going to really fade out pretty quick.
Getting back to what you were saying earlier, Rich, about possible rewards, I've always felt like it would be super fun if you could unlock like legend teams or classic teams or classic players that you could play with in like CFM or I know that licensing is a big issue, but if they could get just a couple teams together that I could play with against my friends or something and have available, or even better, like classic stadiums, that would be super cool. True, like classic football stadiums aren't as cool as classic MLB stadiums, but
I'd like to have the Kingdome back.
Jimmy Franklin hell. Field or the old did the Vikings used to play way back?
The old days? Met,
the Bloomington, right? Something
the
like
Metropolitan
that?
Stadium. That'd be so cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. If they put that stuff in there, heck yeah, I'd go through to unlock it. So
get Shea Stadium with the Jets, Joe Namath days.
So I think that if they did little things like that, or if they had badges, or if they had like long term, like, okay, so I managed to accomplish these things with Draft Champions, like, oh, I beat it with these coaches and I managed to draft like an 85 overall team, or I managed to go all the way, like 4 wins, bam, I did it. Stuff like that, you know, like having kind of in-game achievements. I think there are a lot of different ways to keep it fresh.
Yeah, I agree. And I think everybody agrees that Draft Champions is good, right? It's a good idea. And, you know, while in practice there may be, you know, certain behaviors that, you know, are not optimal, overall, it's a solid new way to play the game. It introduces, you know, interesting ideas and interesting concepts. So I don't think any of us are challenging Draft Champions as anything other than a great idea. And, you know, in the first year of introducing anything, it's definitely difficult. So I kudos to the team for making it happen. You know, but it's an interesting comparison then when you start to look at it versus, you know, other modes and other games. And you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is sort of comparing the two big games that are out right now. Yes, there are several other big games coming down the pike just in the next few weeks, including FIFA, including NHL, including obviously NBA 2K. But the big games that are available right now today are Madden NFL 16 and MLB 15 The Show. And we're in, you know, early to mid-September. You know, the pennant races are heating up and the NFL is about to kick off. So baseball and football are at the top of mind for a lot of sports fans. So I want to just compare and contrast these two games a little bit. And one of the reasons I'm so happy, like all four of us on the show tonight are big baseball fans and big football fans. Although TJ, I guess you're not quite the NFL fan, but I, you know, we'll just go.
We'll just pretend I am.
Exactly. But you are a big Madden fan, that we know.
Love Madden.
So it's a really interesting comparison. If you look at MLB 15 The Show and you look at Madden NFL 16, there are a lot of comparisons and contrasts that you can make. So when we talk about the single-player game, and I'm going to talk about my personal perspective on this, right? Because everybody has a different perspective. But right now, when this show is over and I hit stop on the record button, I have a choice if I'm going to play a game between MLB The Show and Madden. If I'm going to play something right now, I'm going to go and I'm going to play MLB The Show. And that's because, unlike any other sports game I've ever played, MLB The Show has the smoothest, tightest, strongest gameplay that I've ever played. I have played hundreds of games of it this year. It continues to delight me in how good it is. As I was thinking about this today, what I realized is, when I play Madden, we all see those moments in Madden, and we see them in other games too, right? Not just Madden. But there are those moments of the uncanny valley, right? Or just, you know, when players move strangely or do weird things, or, you know, they walk like zombies to the sidelines, or, you know, they're just, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there are those moments in the show, but my God, they happen so less frequently. When I'm playing the show, I'm just continually impressed with how realistic it looks. And it sounds silly to say it, but the show just continues to be so strong. And when I'm talking about the single player season, like I am right now at probably game 150 of my 162 game season that I'm playing. And I am as invested and excited about playing a game of MLB The Show. And when I'm playing Madden single player, not in my not in our Press Row League, right? Because that's different, right? We haven't started that. But the idea of just going in and playing, you know, game 3 or game 4 of my Madden franchise, you know, it doesn't have that same excitement to me that I do playing in a pennant race in MLB The Show. To me, the way that I've sort of structured the way that I play MLB The Show, where I do the player lock for the first five or six innings, you know, with a batter, and then I play innings six through nine, you know, as the entire game. I just have more fun playing MLB The Show single player than I do Madden. You know, Madden's brand new, and after, you know, I got my reviews out the door, I'm like, I know I'm supposed to want to play Madden, but I really want to go back to The Show. Brian Weedy, am I crazy, or you know, do you get that same sense from people as well?
Well, in general, you're crazy, but as far as this topic goes, I would say you're not, which is amazing. But I do have to side with you on this. I think The Show is more engaging, certainly as a single player game, and it's when you bring in the social element of like an online franchise, I think that there's something to that also, because we're so focused on statistics and playoff chase and things of that nature, where we haven't been able to get to that in Madden yet, and we already know about several issues in franchise mode, and whether they've fixed them completely or not, I'm not sure. But The Show this year, it's just more polished, and I think there's more authenticity in general to the product. And even though both games are kind of lacking in presentation and commentary, The Show just seems to resonate with us a little stronger than Madden does. Madden has the fun factor this year, but The Show, I think, has the edge in many other areas.
Well, what I love in particular about The Show is the intensity of the game. You know, the first few innings, okay, you know, this and that, the other thing. But, man, by the time you get to, like, the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, pitch to pitch, batter to batter, you know, you got to have your bullpen right. You know, you can't make a mistake. You got to think about what you're doing. You got to think about the situation. You have to play MLB The Show the way that real people play baseball and manage baseball games. You got to manage your bullpen. You got to have the right pinch hitter. You got to understand, when do I take out my pitcher? When don't I? Madden, for all
I know,
you
got to start Madison Bumgarner every game, even when his arm is about to fall off. Just like the real teams, right?
But I mean, in my experience, playing MLB The Show the way that real people play baseball games and manage baseball games is so rewarding. I can't tell you how many times I've made a call to have a pinch hitter, you know, or made the wrong call to leave a pitcher in for one or two batters too long, where I've reaped what I've sown, whether positively or negatively. Cat Bailey, I know you have some thoughts on this.
I mean, I like MLB The Show very much, and I think that it is an excellent sports game, and that it will have a strong, that it will probably figure into our top three sports games again this year. I'm not as much of a sports fan. I'm not as much of a baseball fan as you guys are. I've gotten back into it a little bit because the Twins have actually been relevant this year, but I don't know. I checked out on MLB The Show months ago and I haven't picked it up. And I guess, I think for me, it's just that a normal game where you don't have quick counts is too long, because, like, I just can't focus.
I agree. Long. I agree with that.
And when you're playing with quick counts, like, the strategy gets lost.
Yeah,
and then also there's the player lock thing, but the player lock wasn't really doing it for me. So, and I guess just like 162 game schedule, it's just like, oh, I can't do this.
Of course.
Truth be told, MLB The Show, like, it's a wonderful game to play head-to-head, and I was playing it more than ever when it first came out. But being a relatively marginal baseball fan these days, I'd say that I'm a much bigger football, hockey, and soccer fan than I am a baseball fan. Though I appreciate the sport, it's great. I just... like, once the initial novelty wore off, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to move on. And when it comes to Madden, like, I've played tons of Madden over the years, and I hate being one of those people, but Ultimate Team really revived my interest. Like, I think if I weren't playing Ultimate Team, I would be like you, and I'd be checked out on Madden right now, 'cause especially since I'm reviewing NHL 16 right now. But because I'm playing Ultimate Team, like, it's just a very fresh and new and interesting experience. So that has really kept my attention. And I suppose I think that, like, Connected Franchise definitely could use some work, as you guys were saying. I think the problem is just no continuity. No sense of continuity is one of my big problems with it. Like, I don't feel like once I've won the Super Bowl, I don't feel like I've truly accomplished anything. Like, the game doesn't make me feel like I'm putting together a dynasty. So once I've won the Super Bowl, I don't feel a ton of reason to continue. But as I said, like, Madden this year is so much fun. And Ultimate Team, like, putting aside the fact that it's kind of a pay-to-win mode, it's given Madden kind of a new lease on life for me. So,
no, I completely understand. Like, a lot of it has to do with mindset, right? But what's interesting is, if you guys remember last year, I played MLB 14 The Show through November or December. Like, you know, this is not a new phenomenon with me. It's not like, oh my God, I just realized MLB The Show 15 is great. But for reasons that I have a very difficult time, you know, explaining, MLB 15 The Show has just completely captivated me. There are, right now, thanks to the fact that I'm doing reviews for various outlets, I could be playing NHL 16, I could be playing Forza 6, I could be playing FIFA 16, but I'm telling you right now, if I had a choice, I would put MLB The Show back on and play a game either in my season, you know, my 162-game season that I'm close to being done with, or in our online franchise. Because, as I said, just there's a level of quality that MLB The Show has on the field that I don't get in any other sports game. It's not to say that Madden isn't good or great. It's not to say that NHL isn't good or great or FIFA isn't good or great. But MLB is a step better. It's just better than all of those games. And part of it has to do with, like I said, the pitch to pitch, hitter to hitter strategy. You know, in Madden, it's like, okay, what play am I going to call? I'm going to execute the play. Can I do it? Boom. Okay, there's a lot of strategy in Madden, but in the show, again, at the level, you know, of truly managing a game and managing lineups and managing at bats and managing pinch hitters and managing pinch runners trying to go for a double play versus throwing the guy out at home or trying to sacrifice or go for it, like, there's just so much more to me going on in the show than there is in any other sports game that it really has, to me, completely put it in another area. And a couple of people told me, well, come on, Rich, it's because the Mets are having a great year. But the Mets were terrible last year, and I played the show almost through the end of the year. Yes, the Mets being exciting and, frankly, having an amazing, no pun intended, season this year, you know, where they're coming off sweeping the Nationals in three come-from-behind thrilling victories, definitely does. But they weren't, you know, we had no idea in May or in June that this was going to be this kind of a year for the Mets. So, yes, that has something to do with it. But there's just, you know, to me, what's happening in the game itself is so special that, I have a hard time prying myself away from it. Go ahead, Kat.
Well, I was going to say that I think we should reserve judgment on FIFA 16 and NHL 16 because I think that based on what I've played of NHL 16 in various contexts, I think NHL 16 could very well give MLB The Show a run for its money in terms of gameplay, and I'm not referring to the closed beta. I think the thing with MLB The Show is more than soccer, more than FIFA, more than NHL, more than even Madden, it's really dependent on your enjoyment of the sport. And
I agree. I totally agree with that.
It's a great game, and it does such a phenomenal job of simulating the sport. But it is for purists. It is for baseball aficionados. And I think that's just a quirk of the sport itself. Like, I'm not saying they should make it more accessible. I'm just saying that if you are not, like, super engaged with baseball, and I admit I'm not that engaged with baseball. I've been following the Twins, but I haven't been, like, you know, buying MLB TV just so I can watch their games or whatever. So
I did.
Well, you've been watching the Twins? Thanks, Rich.
Hey, darn right. Come on. Fun team.
But in any case, I think that if you are like really engaged with baseball, MLB the show is phenomenal. And if I enjoyed MLB or baseball as much as I do like soccer, I think I'd still be playing it.
TJ Lowerman, talk to me about Diamond Dynasty versus Mutt, because again, this is a huge part of both games, and I know that you played a lot of both. I don't want to ask the simple question, which is what's better, but you know, just compare and contrast the two, because I know you like both. And by the way, it's great to like both. This doesn't have to be a winner or loser. It's just something's a little better. You can have chocolate or double chocolate. They're both good.
Rich, let me start off by telling you that I deleted MLB 15 off my PlayStation tonight.
What?
Yeah, it was a complete accident. I was trying to exit the application, and so I deleted it. So I think it finally just finished re-downloading again. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm very excited to pause Madden and flip back over to MLB.
Wait, how do you do that?
If you hit options? No.
I've done
PS
it. Like,
buttons?
Did you say stoptions?
Stoptions. I was going to say start.
I know how you delete it. I'm just like, how do you do it accidentally?
I've almost done it a bunch of times because isn't it the first option or the second option on there?
But it gives you a prompt.
Does it?
Yeah.
PS demo. Delete.
Well, apparently you did it, so.
Yeah, it was quick. Well, it's the same prompt that says, hey, do you want to close this thing? Yeah, sure. But yeah, it's gone. It's almost back. I'm excited. Mutt versus Diamond Dynasty. Two great tastes that great go together. Something like that. Peanut butter and jelly. You got my chocolate and your peanut butter. I don't know what that means. Sounds yummy, though. Yeah, they're both great. Only thing is, I find Diamond Dynasty to be more fun if you're going to be playing online head-to-head stuff, because playing at the computer in very long games of MLB can get very tedious very fast.
And you can't do player lock, if I'm correct, right?
Correct.
Because player lock, I'm telling you right now, without player lock, and Kat, you said 162-game season is forever. I've said it 100 times on the show. Player locking for 5 innings, taking a couple at bats, getting yourself nice and warm, and then jumping in the game in the 6th inning and playing the last 3 or 4 innings over the course of 20 minutes is just amazing. And I don't know that I could play a whole, you know, week of 9-inning games. Although in our online franchise, I do play the full 9 innings because Brian eliminated player lock. So, you know, there's that too. Sorry, TJ, keep going.
I don't think that's even an option, by the way. I don't think I eliminated it, but there's there's something to play for. It's and you're tied in with other people. That's why yeah. You still want to play it like that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, and that's why I'm really liking the NFL Journey in Ultimate Team this year, where it gives you a bunch of little scenarios like you're on the 26, you're down by 4, you got to score a touchdown in 26 or in 15 seconds. That's awesome. I get in, I play that game, I'm done. MLB, it's always you're playing a full game. Give me scenarios where, hey, it's the 7th inning. You have a 1-run lead. Can your bullpen protect it?
Wait, I got one for you. You're the Washington Nationals. You're up 7-1 in game 2 of a 3-game series against the Mets where you have to win it. Oh, you just lost 8-7.
Well, obviously, the problem with that is you don't bring in another closer when your closer is doing amazing and then be like, oh, no, this new guy's not going to mess with his mind when it's obviously going to be in effect. And, I really love Drew Storen. I believe I had him on my PSN friends list for a while back on the PS3 days when he was playing Call of Duty with me. It was pretty awesome.
Wait,
but yeah.
Did you just say you used to play Call of Duty with Drew Storen?
That's pretty cool. At some point he gave his PSN ID out, and I remember when it was like 100 people, so I got on that. And I played Call of Duty with him a couple times.
Nice.
That was like right after he got drafted, so it was got to get in there real quick. But yeah, the big thing for me is I love that Mutt gives you a ton of different ways to play, especially like I said with the NFL Journey now, Draft Champions, which I think would be a great thing to add to Diamond Dynasty if only there was a hit the pass post about some sort of suggestion like that. But yeah, just you have lots of choices in Ultimate Team. In Diamond Dynasty, I'm either playing someone online in a full game, I'm playing the computer in a full game, or I'm playing the computer in a full game using someone's online team.
TJ, what? I have a question.
Go ahead, Rick.
If I can jump in here. One thing that differentiates the two modes is the way the cards are handled. In the show, the ratings fluctuate, right? They go up and down on a card, and there's only one card for a particular player. In Madden, they release, you know, 45 different Aaron Rodgers cards or whatever, some ridiculous amount of different types of cards with different ratings for each player. Now, this is something that Dylan, who has he wrote about in our conference room post on Hit the Pass this week on what feature would you take from one game to another, and he said he would prefer the cards that move up and down. How do you, you know, is that, do you have a preference between those two systems, and would you rather one game adopt the other?
When my cards are going up, I love that system. My cards are going down, I would rather have the cards with multiple cards. Yeah, I think a couple years ago there was something like, I want to say 18 or 24 different Cam Newtons you could get.
See, that creates confusion to me. There's another confusing aspect of Ultimate Team where if I'm going up against someone with Cam Newton, how do I know what he's good at? Because he's great at certain things, at different things on different cards. You don't know, is that a rookie Michael Vick or is that a over the hill Michael Vick?
Holofoil version is the one that you want.
Yeah, I think it was Madden 25. If Vick had a glove on, he wasn't the good version.
I mean, you can tell the difference just because the really fancy ones have like lots of like effects all over them. Like you have Glover Quinn, who is like, "Hi, I'm Glover Quinn," and then you have like 92 overall Glover Quinn with like a nice filter over him, and it looks like super fancy. So that's how you know that it's a really good card.
Mm. Yeah, that's what you get for doing the style solos. Not that I spent a long time playing all those.
Style solos, right, Rich?
It's got my name written all over it.
Come on, guys. You know it's all about team chemistry. but yeah, I mean, different strokes for different folks. If you're going to be doing Diamond Dynasty, you have to know that if you take 3-4 weeks off of the game, you might come back and your great team could be trash. But in Madden, your team's going to be the same no matter what happens. If you go away for a week, a month.
Now, your team could be trash in Diamond Dynasty because the ratings change. Is that what you mean? Okay.
Right. You could have an all-star outfielder if it becomes nothing.
I've been paying attention to what TJ's been saying ever since we launched Hit the Pass.
Well on your way to expert status, Rich.
So, Brian, one of the things we haven't talked about are some of the I don't know, ancillary modes of both of the games, right? So, like, you know, in MLB The Show, you know, there are really cool, nifty little, I don't know what to call them, mini games, right? But there's, you know, The Show Live, where you can hop in and play tonight's matchups with all of the player ratings up to the minute and the right pitchers and things like that. You can play the online Home Run Derby. Interested in what your thoughts are is sort of like some of those, you know, additional modes in MLB The Show versus like Draft Champions and things like that in Madden as well.
Well, overall, Madden, I think you'd still say, was the better performer online, but that's mostly just because they've been more consistent over the years. And The Show, this is really the first year where you can play online and feel pretty good about it. Doesn't mean it's great, but you can feel like, hey, it's a fairly decent experience. Now, as far as modes go, we've talked about Draft Champions and Ultimate Team as two ways you can play online in Madden. Of course, ranked head-to-head. In The Show, it's Diamond Dynasty and ranked head-to-head and online franchise, just like online franchise in Madden. The differentiator here is they do have the Home Run Derby, and they do have The Show Live, and The Show Live there's plenty of people who like that. It never really did much for me, but I think there's a lot of people who'd like to see that in a Madden. And since they do roster updates every week, it would seem like something that would be easy to set up on their end.
Well, I'll just give you a quick example, right? Tonight was the third game of a crucial Mets-Nats series, and he had Jacob deGrom versus Steven Strasburg, right? Like, that's a great matchup in September, and you can go into MLB The Show right now and play that game with those lineups and those pitchers. Like, that's actually a really cool thing.
Yeah. And I think as long as those rosters are accurate, I mean, at different parts of the year, they've had struggles sometimes getting accurate rosters, accurate starters for each game. And if a player isn't in the game, they substitute him with somebody else, meaning if there's a rookie who they haven't added in a roster update or whatever it might be. And then with online play, I think you look at some issues with like Madden not having fair play rules, like we were discussing before. While the show has numerous problems with people bunting and stealing online, the differentiator here, though, is the show does have one experience that's quick and short term and still fulfilling, and that's the Home Run Derby. And it may, I don't know how popular that mode is. I mean, we've only played it probably a few times, but TJ and I had fun doing that one night. What I'd like to see is both games add a short experience that can still be fulfilling. And I'd like to see, if it's an extra mode, fine. It doesn't need to replace ranked games, but I want to see an extra innings mode in the show where you just start off, you're tied in extra innings. And I want to see an overtime mode in Madden, because look, we're talking about time commitments here of 45, 50 minutes for the show, maybe 40 minutes for Madden, except that Madden artificially reduces quarter lengths to make the games go by faster, which, again, we've cited reasons why that's not really great for the experience. It's shorter, but it's not as satisfying. So I think they both need to look at ways to offer different types of experiences online. Madden did that partially with Draft Champions, but they can also do something different, like an overtime mode, which worked fantastically in NCAA football back in 2005. So both games have their merits as far as online and kind of online connected type modes, but there's definitely room for improvement there in both.
All right, well, let's close it out with a simple question and go around the horn. We'll start with you, Cat Bailey, and I know what your answer is, but I'll ask you anyway. MLB The Show or Madden this year?
I mean, in terms of what I'm going to be playing? Or sure. Which one's better? Because I think MLB The Show is overall the more polished product. I think Road to the Show is miles better than any superstar mode that they have. I think that the franchises, they're about comparable, to be honest. I think Mutt is better than Diamond Dynasty. And I think the ranked head-to-head is also about equal. It's just that MLB The Show has the advantage in presentation and graphics and on-the-field gameplay. But because I enjoy the sport of football and men running into each other, and because the Vikings are going to be so darn good this year, they're going to win the wild card. Yes, they are.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
I will be playing Madden, and also because I have an okay Ultimate Team going right now, and I want to see where this takes me.
I hear the smile on your face. All right, I'm going to re-ask the question in a different way, all right? It's Thursday, September 10th, 2015. You've got 1 hour of free time, and the two games that you could play, you can only pick one. One is MLB 15, The Show, and one is Madden 16. What are you picking?
Well, that's easy. Madden.
There you go. TJ Lowerman, that same question to you.
Rich, what hour is it?
What hour is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's 11 p.m. Eastern time.
It's 11 p.m. Tomorrow night, well, yesterday night now, I'll be in the middle of some, whatchamacallit, Draft Champions. Because now when I stream Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern to midnight over at YouTube Gaming, gaming.youtube.com/thatsportsgamer, pretty much everybody wants to watch Madden. So that's what I'll be doing. But if it was, say, 9 o'clock, an hour before I go onto the stream, I'd probably be playing MLB.
So there you go, TJ.
And then midnight, League of Legends.
Perfect answer, which is a non-answer, but I like it anyway. Brian Weedye, same question to you, sir.
I dismiss your options, limitations, Rich, and I select Rocket League. If I had to narrow it down between those two, I think right now it'd be The Show, but long term Madden's gonna take over that slot for me in the coming months. I think The Show's still got a few more months left in it for me, but Madden is gonna get better. I mean, the patch was just step one in that, So I think Madden's going to get better, and then we're going to get into our league, and that's where my focus is going to turn in, you know, the weeks and the months ahead.
Yep. I that's why I specifically said tomorrow, right? September 10th, 2015, right? Because when you talk 2 or 3 or 4 weeks from now, you're going to have NBA 2K, which yeah. I think is going to be one of the best games ever, right? As far as different experiences for different people. You're going to have FIFA. You're going to have Pro Evolution. You're going to have 4-6, right? But tomorrow, we don't have all those choices. So I have that choice tomorrow night. You guys already know what the answer is. It's the show. I love the show. I love MLB 15 the show. It is the best sports game I've ever played, and it has just captured me like no other game has. And, of course, tomorrow night is my birthday, so I'm just going to be hanging out with a little extra free time. And I'll definitely kick back and play another couple of games in my true 162, which TJ Lowerman has never actually completed. Yes, that's right, TJ. I said that.
You guys made me play too many online games. If we didn't play so many online games. It's hey.
You're spending too much time online flipping cards in an auction house. That's what's happening, really.
All I need left is Giancarlo Stanton, and then I will have all the cards minus a few of the new ones from recently. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I want to thank you, TJ Lowerman from That Sports Gamer. As you mentioned, you are live streaming, what is it, every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern? Do we have that right?
That is correct, sir. Gaming.youtube.com/ThatSportsGamer or just youtube.com/ThatSportsGamer. It all works.
Well done, Kat Bailey, our good friend. So good to have you back, Kat. We can always see what you got going on over at US Gamer.
Yep.
Any other spots we should look for you there?
Well, no, not really, but you should look at me, look for me over in US Gamer. I got a nice little article about NHL 16's development going up tomorrow, so you should check that out.
Beautiful. Brian Weedy, where can we find you, sir?
So, Pasta Padre, Hit the Pass, Sporting News, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere, Rich.
Your Snapchat gets a little blue, though, by the way.
Sorry, what was that?
Your Snapchat gets a little blue, shall we say?
Rich.
Yeah. Also, Snapchat. I need more followers on Instagram, so if we could send some over there to That Sports Gamer, I'd appreciate that.
Stop stealing my spotlight, TJ. I was talking
Instagram.
About
Instagram. I'm gonna go follow you right now, and then you can follow me back.
Hey, I sure hope you do. I think I already follow you. This is a discussion to have elsewhere, TJ. Not on our podcast.
This is any.
But yes, Brian, you mentioned not only Hit the Pass, which is, you know, just we're having a whole lot of fun building our community out there. And once again, this week's been a terrific week with contributions from not only Brian and I, but also our good friend TJ and our good friends Dr. Ken and Greg Seward and Pete Scarrett, but also the sporting news. It is blowing up over there, Brian. All sorts of good video game news happening from you. And hey, I started contributing to the sporting news as well this week. I wrote a preview about NHL 16, which has gone live, and you'll see a bunch of stuff over there as well from you about NHL and about Pro Evolution and about Forza and Derby King, you know, our good friend Ian Cummings' new game. So we got a whole bunch of good stuff going on over there. So thank you, everybody, for supporting our network, the Press Row Podcast and its network of Hit the Pass and the Sporting News and US Gamer and That Sports Gamer. These are great, great, great days to be playing sports video games. We're going to look back on these days, my friends, and realize, wow, 2015 was a great year. So I hope you're having fun out there, and I hope that you will continue listening to the Press Row Podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, TJ. And we'll talk to you again real soon. All right, Kat Bailey, you're back. That was fast.
I'm back.
We are talking on the evening of Thursday, September 10th. Cat Bailey, you went and saw NBA 2K at the 2K Studios today. Is that not correct?
That's right. I got to hang out with the NBA 2K developers and play a whole bunch of NBA 2K, and they gave me the big presentation on all the features, and it's looking really good.
So, I mean, I don't know really where to start, so I'll just start with, you know, what happened when you showed up? Like, what was the first thing that they did or you did, or, like, you know, give me sort of the walkthrough of the day.
Well, we showed up at like 10 in the morning and we proceeded to get like 3 hours worth of presentation.
Whoa.
And they like went through all of the features. So, you know, we got the sizzle reel with the Spike Lee movie and everything. And we got an overview of the new additions to franchise mode. Spoiler alert, we have owner mode now in NBA 2K. We can relocate teams.
Yeah, I like
it. They talked about some of the improvements to the gameplay. And they basically hit every single one of the major points. It's honestly hard to know where to start except to say that it may just be time to acknowledge that NBA 2K is probably going to be the hands down the best sports game of the year.
Mm. I mean, there's been a lot of information coming out that would make it hard to dispute that, considering how big the game is and how different experiences you can have and how dedicated the team is to making things, you know, as good as possible on the court. So, you know, and obviously last week we had Scott O'Gallagher and Nino Samuel Dazar on the show talking about a whole bunch of those gameplay improvements and the AI and stuff. So before we talk about that, I'm curious because, like, you know, unless I've missed it, and I don't think I have, there's still been not a whole lot of information about the Spike Lee movie. So, like, you know, what was that? What did that look like? And what's your sense as to what this is going to be? Is it going to be like a 2 or 3 hour thing, or is it going to be similar to in the years past where you still play through the course of a career? Give me your take on what you know about that so far.
It seems like it's going to be like it is in the past where you actually play through a career, but it's almost like a 30 for 30 because, like I said, they did a sizzle reel and it shows like your player in various scenes and their voiceovers of like how the player needs to represent where they came from. And there are people saying that this player owes them everything. And there are people saying, and there are suggestions that they're getting into kind of illicit stuff or getting in trouble. Maybe some like, some true rip from the headlines kind of sports stuff. Possibly the player has the possibility of going bankrupt. And it seems like, while they didn't go into a lot of detail, it seems like your choices can kind of impact whether the player walks the kind of the straight road or if they kind of go down into the rock and roll lifestyle, as it were. Somebody likened it to a rock star, like a rock star game, which is really high praise,
yeah,
to be perfectly
absolutely.
Honest.
Absolutely.
Just the way that they cut it up is very reminiscent of GTA 5. And it's just not the, I've just never seen any that high a level of production values in a sports game. And they've been doing that for years now, you know, and it's, I'm just constantly blown away by what they can do in the space of a year.
Yes.
Especially after hanging out with the NHL team and with all respect to them, like listening to them talk about how like the limitations and the grind that they work under, to have the NBA 2K guys then be going like, yeah, we threw this in, and 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 this is in, and we totally improved all of this, and we've got like 5,000, we've got literally 5,000 adjustments to the gameplay engine. You're just like, my head is spinning.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, it's all seems legit. Like, all the things that they talk about, you know, it doesn't seem like just a bunch of back of the box marketing hype. It like literally sounds like when you read the blogs and you talk to the guys and you hear it, like a lot of this stuff is legit. Yeah, it is kind of crazy how they do that over the course of a year.
But yeah, with the Spike Lee thing, I wasn't sure if like his name was just attached to it and he was, you know, kind of approving things. But no, it sounds like last year, like the story that they told was that after they wrapped last year, they were like, man, what do we do next? Wouldn't it be awesome if we could get Spike Lee in here? Aha, and they all laughed. And then at, I believe it was the NBA 2K15 launch party, they encountered Spike Lee in New York. And he was like, man, I would love to work with you guys on a game. And they're like, what? And that's kind of got the wheels in motion. And by all accounts, Spike Lee was heavily involved with everything. Like, he picked the actors. He set everything up. He shot everything. They had footage of, like, Spike Lee there on the floor directing all of the motion capture people. And apparently he has them all dance to get into character before they actually start shooting. So it was kind of surreal to see all the people in the mocap suits standing around looking at their lines and getting ready to work with Spike Lee. So I don't know, like, if we're actually going to have a Spike Lee quality movie. I think it's mostly going to be that it's going to be very similar to your traditional My Player mode, except that Spike Lee writes the script and you're going to have a greater variety of choices that kind of reflects the athletic lifestyle. But it looks intriguing. It's like, it's really cool. It raises the bar for storytelling in sports sims, which NBA 2K is the only one that does it. So
yeah, I mean, raising the bar for themselves, because like you just said, nobody does it. You know, it's interesting, you know, comparing, again, NBA 2K. Like, we just had a conversation focused heavily on Madden versus the show. But, you know, again, NBA 2K, from a volume and quality perspective, really just seems like it is just in another league. So let's talk about, like, franchise mode, for example, right? So, I mean, you know, you and I are big franchise people, and in different ways. You know, I'm much more about playing the games, and you are as well, but you also kind of like the minutiae of the roster management and stuff like that. And these leagues are online. Are you in? Are you going to commit right here and right now that you'll be in our Press Row online NBA 2K16 league this year and check all that stuff out?
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I'm busy enough as it is. I'll be playing My Player, because as usual, My Player looks like the most intriguing. I think they call it My Career now, but that looks like the most intriguing mode. And the thing that I like about My Career is just that, in addition to all of the movie stuff, they also added this kind of day-to-day thing where on your off days, you can choose what you're going to be doing. Like, you can choose to go to, like, charity golf tournament with Michael Jordan, or you can choose to go to a sponsorship event, or you can choose to go train and work out and better your skills. And they're like, there's a definite trade-off going on. And you can build up your connections with other NBA players. So they definitely beefed that element up quite a bit. So I think that when it comes to this game, like, I may be playing the odd full team game, like, with friends, but I will probably be focusing the bulk of my efforts on the story.
So what did you actually play? Because I imagine after the hours of presentations, they give you a little bit of lunch, and then they probably say, all right, here you go, hands on. So is that the case? And then what did you actually play?
That was more or less what happened. After lunch, there was a little more presentation, and we jumped right into it and played several rounds. And it was, we were not playing a final build, which was unfortunate because that particular build did not have the 2K camera, so it had the side-to-side broadcast camera, which was a little hard to adjust to at first because it's just so much harder to figure out where to pass the ball and everything and, like, who's open. And it gets a lot easier to lose guys in traffic on defense. The feedback that I can give on NBA 2K is pretty general, but I think that it feels a lot smoother than last year. which is to say that last year I really liked a lot of what was going on, but there were times where, like, for example, it felt like guys were getting sucked into blocks, like, or like animations felt a little too canned. And I think that this year's version, it feels even smoother and more natural than before. And they also redid the controls.
They can't help themselves. They do it every single year.
Every year. This year, they've moved the sprint back to R2, or right trigger R2. I can't, like, give you a full lowdown of the controls, like, just off the top of my head, except that sprint is R2. They're using the face buttons heavily. God, I would have to get the actual, like, manual in front of me. But, yep, they revamped the controls again. Because in their own words, they said, we're always experimenting, we're always trying new things. But I played a few games against the computer, and it was pretty funny because they brought in a lot of, like, YouTubers and everything. And even the YouTubers were actually struggling a little bit against the computer, because I think they were kind of getting used to the dynamics with the defense.
Yeah.
Because it's just... just getting used to the way to blocking people and being able to stay with your person. It can be tricky at times. And I will admit that I am not like a NBA 2K super expert, which mm-hmm. was very evident when I was stupid enough to challenge a YouTuber to a game, and they beat me by like 25 points.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And he was just like, do, 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 do. But it felt really good. I will say that much.
Nice.
So I have a lot of respect for what they're doing, and I ended up talking with them, and I was like, how do you do all of this? How do you manage to get so much into every version every year? And they mm-hmm. just say, well, we got a lot of freedom here.
Yep.
We don't have to worry about red tape, as it were. We can more or less sit down at our, if we have an idea, we can more or less sit down at our station and sketch it out and put in the game. And they were like, and we got a really strong technology base and tool set for this game, like ridiculously strong. So it's super easy for us to put stuff in. And I was like, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Which gives me hope for like NHL, because they completely, it wasn't that they necessarily completely revamped their process, but my understanding is that they developed a bunch of new tools and kind of revisited what they were doing and had and streamlined quite a few things and managed to have a lot more success getting everything out the door, and the result is a much more polished game, in my opinion. So
who specifically did you get a chance to talk to? I mean, was it like, you know, some of our, the friends of our show, like Scott O'Gallagher and Mike Wang? I mean, are those a couple of the fellows?
I did in fact talk to both of them. Okay. I mostly hung out and talked with Scott O'Gallagher.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. And truth be told, we mostly hung out and talked about other sports games.
Well, I know that playing. I would imagine he probably talked to you about our little argument about NBA 2K's GM mode versus FIFA's, perhaps.
No, he did not.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
What did he say to you about that?
Well, you remember a few weeks ago where you and I had a, you know, argument about, you know, you saying that FIFA's career mode is better, or not career, yeah, the franchise mode,
basically. The GM mode, yeah.
Yeah, the GM mode is better than NBA, and I, you know, strongly disagreed. And, you know, he was on the show a couple weeks ago, he mentioned that he heard that and he disagreed with your thoughts on that. So I'm surprised he didn't mention that. That's funny.
Nope, he didn't bring it up. I will have to spend more time with the GM mode this year just to see like all the changes that they make, everything. I think, like I already said, the thing that I've always had against NBA 2K's GM mode is that it's not super elegant, and I never thought that the UI did it a lot of favors, and they try to cram so much into it that at times it breaks down a little bit, whereas I always found FIFA's career mode really elegant. By comparison, especially the way that they handle the transfer window and the way that they handle like stuff like player morale and progression and on down the line. So I think FIFA's problem is that it's reached the point where it's starting to get stale. I feel like it's getting kind of stale at this point, and we'll see how I feel. But I'm not feeling a huge motivation to play career mode again after I spent so much time with it last year. So,
right.
But that's getting off topic. In any case,
yeah.
It's looking really polished. It's looking ridiculously polished. And as usual, they're bringing a huge amount to the table. They were talking about cool stuff like, is they're going to have legendary teams? And they are even applying like, they're applying like specific situations to the way like officials call games. For example, like they said, the Jordan rules will be in effect when Michael Jordan's there.
That's like, great, as it should be, because that's exactly what happened in the NBA.
And they're really tuning up the AI quite a bit.
That was all last week. And the thing that I loved last week when Scott O'Gallagher was saying, he's like, yep, you know, when you're playing the defense, you're playing against Scott. And when you're playing on offense, you're playing against Nino. Like, I just love that, and that resonated with a lot of people in the community, and that's exactly what that's tied to.
Well, they were saying that, and they were calling out some people in the audience who were fairly well-known members of the community, I believe, and they were like, "So you were like doing? How many assists did you get in like your best games? Like 45 or something like that?" And they were like talking about doing the 100-point challenge. And their point was that there was a problem with people being able to score just ridiculous amounts of points, right? And the only way that the computer really adjusted was once they passed a certain point threshold, they'd start getting double teamed. And the AI is apparently much better at identifying threats and adjusting this time around. And yeah, you could tell that when you were playing the computer, because the computer sure seems to be pretty good at playing defense this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm happy about that either, by the way.
Much better than last year, because last year even I was able to drop like 30, 35 on the computer without really breaking a sweat. And this year, like, I had to really work and move that ball around and like look for openings, and it felt like the openings were quite small. Of course, this might have been a function of the fact that I was playing with the freaking broadcast camera. But yeah, the defense definitely seems to have been pumped up quite a bit this year.
Well, good stuff. So any other sort of final thoughts before we let you get out of here and get back to your nice, relaxing evening?
I'm ready for NBA 2K. It just says something that, as a basketball game, it's so good that it can even make me care about basketball. So that is a gigantic mark in its favor. And I think, as usual, though, they will likely be facing the same problems that they always face, which is the fact that they've tied so much of their functionality to their virtual currency. And which means that if they're going to have server problems at launch, which they have the past couple of years, then that's going to almost cripple the game. And that has been a gigantic sticking point for me the past couple of years.
Yep.
Like at various points, they've managed to get past it, but then it'll rear its ugly head again, you know, when they like try and go back and fiddle with it. And I realize that they have the best of intentions, but I think that it is a gigantic Achilles heel.
Agreed. And that will be, I think, you know, all other things considered, if online works, it's going to be hard to find a whole lot of problems with NBA 2K. But we will see. I'm excited to hear this. Thank you, Kat Bailey, for coming back
on. No problem. And, thanks for having me.
You got it. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.